Thank you, Carol. Tell Carol thank you. Say thank you, Carol. Okay. I'm going to go up here. And if I start preaching that Jesus is coming again and I fall, then you say, well, you should have warned us before you came. Something of that nature. But I'm doing good. I am a little bit lightheaded, but what I have to share with you today is not light. It's my heart. God has spoken. God has spoken. God has spoken. The definition of an oratory is the act of making deep noises from the chest that sounds like an important message from the brain. Come on. Smile, laugh. This is the definition of an oratory. It's the act of making deep noises from the chest that sound like an important message from the brain. The definition of an orator. One who misses many fine opportunities for keeping quiet. Oh, you got that one. That's good. God has spoken. He spoke to us through His Son. And the aspects of that is very clear, because the people that heard Him, this was their testimony. He does not speak like others. He speaks as one having authority. God has spoken. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, the Holy Spirit says these words, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. God has spoken. He spoke in many different portions and many different ways. He spoke as it was to Adam and Eve in the garden. Spoke directly to them. Said, do not eat. But then He spoke about how and what they had done and what the result end result of sin. He clarified what had happened and what sin had brought upon the world. God did not create the curse. Sin did. And sin has cursed the world in which we live in. In fact, Romans 8 says the creation of the world groans to be delivered from that which has come upon her as a result of sin. He spoke to the serpent, the devil, spoke directly to him and said that He, that is God, was going to bring forth a son, and that He would bring forth the son through the seed of a woman, and that this son, this male, this baby would indeed, as it would be, would destroy the power and the works of the devil, even though the devil would bruise the heel of this one to whom God was going to send. God told him, promised, that this one who was going to come, to whom He was going to speak, would indeed destroy the power of the devil. He spoke to Cain. Said, Cain, what is the matter with you? Why are you depressed? Why are you cast down? Cain, if you would just do what is right. I preached a series on that, didn't I? Cain, if you just do what is right, wouldn't your countenance be lifted up? Of course it would. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to these men. He spoke to Moses through the burning bush. He spoke in an awesome display, if you will, on that mountain when Peter, James, and John were there. And Peter says majestically, the voice of the God spoke and said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There is that aspect of it. In fact, in Deuteronomy 5:26, God says, for who is there, Moses is saying, for who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire, as we have, speaking of Mount Sinai, and lived? God spoke. The Israelites heard. God spoke from the fire, and fearfully, the aspects of that, Israel then begged Moses that they and that he would seek another way in which God would speak. And so this is God's way, and God endorsed the concept. In Numbers 12 and 8, God said, and this is speaking to the Israelites and directly to Moses, "With him, Moses, I will speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings, and he beholds and will behold the form of the Lord." And Moses, you know, from Mount Sinai, did see the form of the Lord walking in the cloud in the mist. What an unbelievable privilege Moses had, that he would have the Father, the Creator of the world, speaking to him mouth to mouth, face to face, not in dark, but in the light, and that Moses would become his spokesman. Moses truly was the first great prophet, because a prophet is simply one who receives a message from God to be delivered to people. And Moses did indeed do that. With the other prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and others that came along, God communicated to them, but he communicated by various ways and different means, by dreams, by visions, and dark sayings. But with Moses, he spoke to him face to face. Remember that. He spoke to Moses face to face. Remember, Moses said that the Lord your God is going to lift up unto you another prophet like unto me, but unto him you shall listen. Hearken. Speaking of Jesus, right? Huh? Yeah. So Moses was a type of Jesus, wasn't he? Wasn't he? God spoke directly to him through Moses. Moses spoke to the Israelites. Listen as you see. Because the prophets of Isaiah 30, chapter of Isaiah, verses 20-21, God spoke of this one who was to come. And these are God's words. Speaking of this individual, he said, "He, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your eyes will behold him, and your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it." And Jesus said, "I am the way. Wherever you turn to the right and to the left. You will listen to him." And when the Apostle John wrote his first letter, the Gospel, he begins by saying what? "In the beginning was the Word." The Greek word as used there in the Word was the full expression of God. Jesus was God. He was God in the flesh. He was the full radiance of God. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen God." So when that word, is used there, you've got to understand the background of that Greek word. Jesus spoke the Word of God. He spoke the Word of God. John declares and says in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And what? "And we beheld him, we saw him, we looked upon him in all of his glory." Remember what the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 30? "Your eyes will see him, you will look upon him, and you will hear him. We saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." In John chapter 3, you know the story. This coward, I believe, Nicodemus, came at midnight or later and thirsted out Jesus. And these are Nicodemus' words as he spoke to Jesus. He said, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. We know you have come from God as a teacher. No one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." And no doubt Jesus fulfilled the prophet Isaiah made in the 30th chapter. It has been fulfilled. Listen to that. Remember that. It has been fulfilled. Jesus states in John 17, 7 through 8, as he's praying to his Father and expressing and pouring his heart out to God, I believe this is the Lord's Prayer, these are his words. "Now they have come to know," that is the disciple, "everything you have given me is from you. Now they have come to know, Father, that everything you have given me has come from you. For the words which you gave me, well, the words, God, Father, you have gave me, I have given to them." God has spoken. The words Jesus spoke were God's words, not his. He spoke the words that God gave him to speak. And so the aspect of that is very clear, as the prophet Isaiah had predicted. He would be a teacher, and he would come from God. In verse 14 of the same chapter, the 17th chapter of John, Jesus said, "I have given them your word." Past tense, God has spoken. "I've given them your word." In the beginning, the word, the very spoken word of God, became alive and living in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the walking, living word of God. If you want to know God, just look at Jesus. Huh? You ever notice that the Hebrew writer said, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, not on God"? Huh? Because Jesus is the full expression in every aspect of God Himself. If you've seen me, you have seen God. People are looking for God. They want to find God. Look at Jesus and you'll find Him. Jesus was the Word, the living Word. He is my lawgiver. I don't follow the Ten Commandments. I follow Jesus because He's the fulfillment of it. If I follow Jesus Christ, I'm going to be following the law of God because He is the lawgiver. He's the inspiration and the inspirer who gave the law in the first place. Prophets spoke by the Spirit of Christ that was in them, according to Peter. He's my prophet. I'm not going to listen to Mary Baker Eddy or Helen White or whoever claims to be a prophet. Because the Bible tells me in John 16:16 that the law and the prophets were until John. John was the last one that became that prophet to whom Jesus or God spoke. Because the teacher, the ultimate fulfillment of the context of Old Testament, was coming to and would soon come. And all John was doing was bearing testimony of Him. He was the forerunner of this unbelievable teacher that was going to come from God. You know that as well as I do. And so as you think about that great experience that we have in the context of Scripture, notice it says, we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were what? We saw Him. For 3 years, we walked with Him. We listened to Him. We saw the miracle. We saw His power. We saw Him risen from the dead. We saw every aspect of it. We saw Him. We saw Him do things that are beyond explanation. There is no way you can explain it in human language. We saw Him were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such as the utterance that was made by the majestic glory of God, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Now, Peter doesn't go on, because what is also said, God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Listen to Him. Are you listening? Have you sat at the Master Teacher's feet and listened to what He has to say? Have you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7? The ladies are studying the book on the Beatitudes by Jerry Paul. You all ought to get it and read it. You know when it says that Jesus opened up His mouth? You know what it said? What it really says is that Jesus opened up His heart and poured out His heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the heart of Jesus teaching for you and me today. And a lot of people laugh at it. A lot of people ridicule it. Go the second mile. Somebody hits you on the cheek, turn to right. On, 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 on. A man looks upon a woman and lusts after her, has already committed adultery. And Landers says that's a bunch of hokey-okey. But my Lord said it. Why? Because He's getting to the root of sin. The root of sin begins with the mind, the thinking, the process. And the area of the mind is through the eyes, the lust of the eyes. Isn't that what John says? Yeah, he does. Makes that very plain. So God says, spoken, He is very God. And we ourselves, we heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. They heard it. They heard it. They heard it. God has spoken. And then when he spoke majestically. He didn't whisper. He didn't say it in a dark place. He turned the light on. As bright as the glory of God could speak. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Peter says, we have house, heard the utterance. We heard the utterance, made from heaven. We saw the element. We were right there in the holy mountain. But he also says, Moses was there. Elijah was there. And you know old Peter. You know, Peter had bad breath because he was constantly sticking his foot in his mouth. Peter says, let's make an altar. Let's make an altar, one to Moses and one to Elijah. You know what he said? And then one to Jesus, of course. But all God was trying to tell you and me right there as he was telling them, don't you listen to Elijah, the prophets, any longer. Don't you listen to Moses, the lawgiver, anymore. This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. You hear and you listen to him. That makes sense? Yes or no? Who are you listening to today? There are a lot of voices out there that Satan is permeating through television, radio, all over the world today. You know that, don't you? You need to know the Word. You need to be in the Bible. You need to make the Bible the only book you read. And you need to get into Jesus' teaching. And you need to listen to Him. Because if you learn the truth, you'll be able to discern what isn't true. Right? So God declared, hear Him, that all the prophet words concerning the coming of Christ were made sure. As Peter goes on. Look at what he says. For we have the prophetic word made more sure. The prophetic word. The prophets spoke over and over of Jesus. Hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament concerning this one person that was going to come into the world, born in Bethlehem, born, if you will, any aspects of it, and what would happen to him, his whole life, his death, his crucifixion, his resurrection, all prophesied by the prophets. Isaiah is called the messianic prophet because Isaiah gives 60 clear prophecies relating to Jesus Christ. And Isaiah lived 800 years before Jesus was born. What is the mathematical possibility of David writing in Psalm, Jeremiah, Isaiah, or Malachi, or all these Old Testament writers, prophets, walking into the future hundreds of years later, and one man coming into the world and fulfilling them, every one of them, to the minutest detail? What's the possibility, mathematically, that that could happen? You aren't listening, are you? Are you? It's impossible, people. There's no mathematical equation that could even equal or come to even make sense out of the whole aspect of it. But the aspects are very clear. Everything that the prophets made clear was made through the prophetic, and it was made sure. Peter says what they said was made sure, but what God said on that mountain, this is my beloved Son. Okay? Are you listening? Okay. So the aspect is pay attention. Do well to pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention what? As a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. If you're really paying attention to what God said and you're really listening to what God said about His Son, then you will come to the same conclusion, I believe, that indeed is clearly given in the context of Scripture. In Hebrews 2, 1 through 3, it says these words, Hebrews 2, 1 through 3, why you should pay attention. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. The word attention is you are continually listening. You're continually evaluating. You're continually overvaluing. You are continually looking into what you have heard. Okay? That we don't drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels prove unalterable, unchanging, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation after it was first spoken from the Lord? It was confirmed to us by us who believe. When was it first spoken? I have come not to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Did he not say that? I have come to seek and to save the lost. I didn't come to find the righteous. I come to find those who are lost. That's what he said, didn't he? First spoken, why did he come? He came to save us. He came to become our Savior. He came to die for us, to give his life for it. A lamp shining in a dark place, giving light to what? To what did he give light to? Until the day dawn and the morning star arises in your heart. Has the day dawned in your heart? Has the morning star arisen in your heart? Do you really truly believe today that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, sent from God, and that God has spoken through him? Do you truly, honestly believe that with all of your heart? As the morning star, what is the morning star? Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Is Jesus risen in your heart? Does he live in you? Is he alive in you? Is he the power of your life? Is he your everything? The aspect of that is unbelievable. I believe that this passage makes it very clear that every person from radio, TV, or from this pulpit, or anybody, must speak in two confirmed aspects. Number one, confirm that they believe that the Bible, the Word of God, the Scripture, is the inspired Word of God. All prophets, all people, when they spoke by inspiration. God breathed. If you speak, put your hand in front of your mouth, you'll feel breath. The Bible is the breath of God that was come alive and living in the person of Jesus Christ. Number two, that very voice must point people to only one person, and that person is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Period. And when that star rises in your heart, then you will do what Peter did. Peter, disciples, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say you're one of the prophets. But whom do you say I am? Right now, who do you say Jesus is? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, listen, are you hearing? Blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. But my Father, who is in heaven, has convicted you of that truth. You're sitting here listening to me. If you don't believe Jesus Christ isn't the Son of God, then the morning star has not risen in your heart. God hasn't spoken to your heart. He can't convict you because you're not hearing it. You have ears to hear, but you're not hearing it. If you're hearing it and receiving it, then you will come to a point that God can convince you and convict you that God has sent his Son into the world and his name was Jesus. And from that aspect, you will come as even when Philip was preaching to the eunuch. And the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, right? Huh? Yeah. You want to know who in the world is the prophet speaking of? This one who went like a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb, and opened not his mouth. He was beaten for your transgressions. God laid on him the iniquities of us all. And by his stripes we are healed. Who is he speaking of? And Philip began at that same scripture and preached unto him, Jesus. Isn't that right? Yeah, he did. He preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. Then what happened? Well, here's water. Well, hand to me to be baptized. And what did Philip say? If thou believest, thou mayest. What did Philip and the eunuch, what did he confess? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I know there's no doubt in my heart that God convicted me of that fact. That when I said I believe Jesus Christ, I was speaking because God had revealed it to me through the scriptures and through the person of his Son. And there's no doubt to this day I will stand and I will say with my heart, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. No ifs, no ands, no questions about it. Then Jesus himself in every aspect. When you're driving down the road, and you're trying to find the lions or the tigers, or whoever you like to listen to, and you're trying to get the radio focused to find that station. You ever got frustrated? Huh? You keep turning and turning, because you know the voice of the announcer, right? You know what you want to hear. You got tuned in. You know exactly what the announcer for the lions sounds like, and the tigers, whatever. I do anyway. Okay. I'm sorry if you don't. I do. So I'm listening, and I'm trying to find that channel. I'm trying to tune in, and trying to tune in. And it really gets frustrating to me because I got to listen so carefully, don't I? I got to be paying attention as I'm turning the dial. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. Keep turning the dot. What voice are you listening to? Who are you turned into? Who are you receiving your spiritual concept and what you believe from? From the Word of God that has now been made sure through the fulfillment of the prophecies that were made through this one person named Jesus Christ? Or through what some other person, a man, or claiming to be a prophet or whatever, has dictated and declared and has written books upon books and books upon books? No? Hebrews says, in these last days, God has spoken, completed tense. Jesus said in John 16:16, the law and the prophet were until John. No prophet was going to receive a direct message from God because God was coming through His Son to speak directly to us. Get it? So that means that Mary Baker Eddy and Helen White, Joseph Smith, and all of them are liars. They did not receive a direct message from God because God has already received and given us a message, and that message came through Jesus Christ. There is only one book that came from God, inspired by the breath of God, and it's this one. Not the Book of Mormons, not the Jehovah's Witnesses, not any other of them. This is the Word of God. And God has spoken to us. And if you have received a message from somebody who claims to be a prophet, you're turned into the wrong channel. That's all there is to it, people. I'm sorry, but there's only one voice that you should be listening to and looking for and tuning in, and that's the voice of Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to find it is right here. Make sure you're turned in. John 18:37. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. As Peter stated in verse 20 and 21, as he goes on in this particular passage, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own private interpretation. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, the Bible is a matter of interpretation? How many of you heard that? The Bible is nothing but more than, well, wait a minute. My Bible says that the matter, the first thing you got to understand is no prophecy of Scripture came by one's own interpretation. God said what He said, and He meant what He said. Period. You don't interpret it. You interpret the math book, whether 2 plus 2 equals 4, huh? And then expect you're going to be able to pass algebra and geometry and trigonometry or whatever. No, there are certain basic facts that the prophecies matter. No prophecy was ever made by the act of human will. But these men were moved, the Greek word is they were moved along by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. Do you believe that? That the Bible is indeed the inspired, spoken Word of God, and it came to life in the person of Jesus Christ. No prophecy was ever given in any other way. So as I mentioned, Isaiah spoke, and Brother Don, this morning, guided by the Holy Spirit, read to you Isaiah, and I'm closing with this. Listen to this. Isaiah 9. A child will be born to us. Do you hear what that says? Jesus was born to you. How many of you have had a baby? How many have had a child? Was that child not born to you? Huh? You understand what he's saying? This is your personal baby that was born, and he was born to be your baby. to become your Savior, your Lord, your everything in your life. He was given to you. Jesus was born to you. Receive Him. Take Him into your arm. Love Him. He deserves it, doesn't He? He died for you, didn't He? Yeah, He did. And a son will be given to us. And the government will rest on His shoulders. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord has promised it. God just didn't promise it, man, lady, gentlemen. He promised it with every zeal and every aspect of what He is. I'm going to keep this promise. My son's going to be born to you. Have you received Him? Has the morning star risen in your heart? Do you really, can you say, I know in my heart without any doubt that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And if you believe that with all of your heart, then you've got to believe that He is who God made Him to be, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So that whatever He says and whatever He teaches, you're going to honor it by walking and following Him, right? Remember Isaiah 30? This is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. Walk in it. You can't go wrong if you walk in His footprints, can you? Huh? Can you? No. Well, let me tell you something. He walked all the way to Jordan for one reason, and that was to set you an example. He went there for one reason, and that was to be baptized by the prophet John the Baptist. John said, no, I'm not going to baptize you. I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said powerfully, John, it is necessary. It's necessary. Remember, Jesus is man. He's human. He was subject to obey God too, wasn't He? So He said this, it is necessary for me to fulfill all righteousness. John, I can't stand before my Father declaring that I am right with Him if I don't obey what God has commanded us to do. Isn't that interesting? He left us an example. I don't know where you are. I have no idea. But I do know this. I know where Jesus is. He's a bright morning star that has arisen in my heart. Is He in your heart? Is He alive? Vibrant? Does He mean everything to you? Because brother, sister, He was born to you. And someday He's coming for you. Someday He's coming for you. What a magnificent, majestic day that will be when you hear the voice of the Son of God and you go to be with Him. Amen? And so we're going to preach the rest of the month on God has spoken. And we're going to emphasize how that all came about in just this one person. His name is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, I thank You for the birth of Your Son and what it means to us today as we've gathered here in this room. We've come here to honor You, to praise You, to thank You for loving us enough that You sent Your Son to die on our behalf. Today, I pray, God, that if there's one person here that has not yet confessed the name of Jesus Christ and made Him the Lord and been obedient to His command and baptism, that they will be moved by Your Spirit and convicted to do so, so that this bright and morning star could arise in their hearts and He could come alive and become that living, powerful element of their personal lives. So we thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your spoken word. And thank You that Jesus came and proclaimed it in all of His power and beauty to each and every one of us. And we praise You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.